Good morning from Independence Baptist Church. We've really enjoyed being able to bring the broadcast to you and hope that you've enjoyed the series on Christ being our ransom. Now, this week will be the last message in this series, and we've already picked several more topics for the rest of the month of April, and we ask that you continue to pray that the Lord will direct us on the messages that are needed. If you have any suggestions or questions for us, please don't hesitate to contact us. Pastor Reynolds can be reached by leaving a message at 636-673-2180, or writing to P.O. Box 70, Forestdale, Missouri, 63348. You can also email Pastor Reynolds directly from our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. You know, as I mentioned a second ago, the current series for the broadcast is Christ is Our Ransom, and today we'll be listening to the last message of this series. Now, last week we ended by talking about how that God never had a beginning, and He'll never have an ending. And yet, He gave Himself a ransom for us. So let's listen in as Pastor Reynolds picks up where we left off last week.
The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that God does not think the way we think. His ways are higher than we could ever believe. Ask the children here. This year in school, we're studying the names of God. And so we study the name of Jehovah, which means the everlasting existing one. So ask children, when did God begin? And I got some looks, big eyes, like that. You know, I said, He never did start. He was never born. He never had a beginning. And it was like, what? It was like, Hit that again, you know. Now, Brother Wayne, we believe everything else you say, but I don't know about this, they're thinking. Because in our minds, we think everything had a starting place. But when you start thinking about God, He's not like us. He doesn't think like us. He never did have a beginning. And He will never have an end. We kind of understand that because we're looking to never have an end. But we all had a beginning, but not God. But it was this one, it was this eternally existing one that gave His life a ransom for many. You think about what we're saying here. Because God is not like us at all. He is higher than the heavens in His glory, in His majesty, in His honor. His way of thinking and His way of life is different. His life is different than us. You think about it, that He has everlasting life and He gave everlasting life. He gave it up for us and then He took it back to Himself. And He proved that He is God by His being raised from the by him raising Himself from the dead. And He has redeemed us from all of this curse that we're under. Look, in the book of Galatians chapter 3, here's another place. In the Bible is full of these examples that we're looking at. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Here's what it says. And because of our time, we're going to have to pick some of these out because I've got a whole chapter to go through that I'm not going to get to. But Christ gave His life, not just a piece of Him, but He gave His life. And that is what Christ desires of us, that we give our lives a living sacrifice unto Him. Romans 12. Here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us. And that word redeemed is talking about ransom. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And that tells us how He did it. See, we were under this curse. We were held captive in our sins. We could not get out. Christ was made a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Although He didn't have any sin, He still became a curse for us. Being made a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And there He was. You see, when Jesus died, and I think we've heard the gospel message so much we've become hardened to it. And it does not make us even weep. We said and we hear it. And it's just like water running off a duck's back. It's just like going in one ear and right out the other. And it doesn't dawn on us what He really did for us. He gave His life. He gave His existence for us. He didn't know any sin. And that's all we knew. And He became as we. He became as we, yet without sin. And because of that, died the innocent for the guilty. And it's us that have been paid. Let me read you this passage in closing. The book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Beginning here in verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. And I want you to just get a hold of this, because this is the way it is. For when we were yet without strength, you think about here we are. We're tied up. We're being kidnapped by sin. We're tied up. We have no strength. And if we begin to cut ourselves and to shed our own blood, the devil says, go ahead and cut yourself. I don't care. We're without strength. He says, in due time, that is, when the time was right. And God knows about that. That happened 2,000 years ago. The promise was given in the book of Genesis 3:15 in the Garden of Eden. Fulfilled 4,000 years later. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? Who did He die for? See, He died for us good guys. Not what it says. He died for the ungodly. You know why? You know why back over in Matthew 28 it says that Jesus would give His life a ransom for many, and it didn't say give His life a ransom for all? Here's the fact. There's a lot of people that will not admit they're ungodly. They will not admit before God that they're ungodly. They won't do it. Christ didn't die for them. The Bible said Christ came for sinners. Not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, what I'm telling you is that the kingdom of God is not like this world's governments. It's not like that structure at all. It's different. You just think about it like this. You just think about it like this. If the world says that this is the right way to hold your hand, then you can mark it down. This is the right way to do it before God. That's the right way to do it. You just mark it down. Because the world don't think like God. And oftentimes we, as children of God, we think too much like the world and not enough like God. And here's what He said. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look in verse 7. Talk about the ungodly. And I'm just making this comparison between us and God. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, when the Bible said that Jesus paid the ransom for us, and you think about the comparison here, would you die that someone else might live? The thing about it, we're sitting here now in a nice, comfortable building, so we say, oh yeah, that'd be no problem. Until somebody pointed the gun at your head and said, you or your wife, which one do you want to die? Or pointed at the women and said, it's going to be you or your husband, which one do you want to die? Which would you choose? If somebody said to you children, it's you or your mama, but you or your daddy, which one would you choose? You see what Jesus did? He gave His life a ransom for me. There might be somebody here that would say, I'll die that the other might live. Then I wonder this, which one is the better? Which one is the better person? Which one is the better? You think about it in the comparison when Jesus died for us. Who's the better? Jesus died that we might have life. He died that we might understand, that we might come. He says in verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. If you've got an NIV, those words "for us" is not there. I'm pretty sure. But He died for us. He died for us. He died that we might have life. He gave His ransom for us. He redeemed us. And there we are. He's paid the ransom. And I'm set free. Oh, happy day. The day if you're lost, I pray that you might be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God to see your lost condition. And I also pray this to us that are saved, that we might not become calloused to what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. It is my prayer that we might be convicted even after we're saved of our own callousness and our lack of dedication to God. I pray that God would burden us with our own selfishness and our own self-righteousness. I pray that God would show us how we ought to be, because He was the way He was. Because He gave His life a ransom for many. I pray that we as God's people would see that that's what we ought to be doing, is giving our life to be a benefit and a help to others. I didn't even read to you about the Apostle Paul. And that's what he did. Whatever it took was what he was going to do. And I pray that we'd be more like that. When we see the sacrifice that Christ died, that Christ gave for us, that we might understand what we ought to do in serving the Lord and being true and faithful to Him.
You know, have you ever stopped to really think about how amazing it is that Christ gave Himself as our ransom? He's eternal, He's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, and yet He came and suffered and died for us. He gave up everything He had to cover and to forgive our sins. You know, I want you to think, there's a song called "It Is Well With My Soul," and it has a verse that I'd like you to think about for just a minute. The third verse of the song starts like this. It says, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord." You know, it says, my sin. You know, I just love how he starts the verse. It says, it's like the author of the song starts the statement, my sin, and then right in the middle of that, it hits the full impact. It dawns on him almost, like, this is my sin. And he has to stop, and he says, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin. It's so personal. It's not someone else. It's not everyone in the world. It's my sin. It's personal. God has forgiven my sin. The all-powerful, all-knowing one came and died and has forgiven my sins if I accept Him as my personal Savior. Well, we pray that this message has been a blessing to you, and we'd encourage you to come and worship the Lord with us. Our services will be starting at 10 a.m. this morning for Sunday school and 11 for worship services. We also have Sunday evening services starting at 4 p.m. with a prayer meeting and 4:30 for worship services. During the week, we also meet together on Wednesday nights at 7 for a Bible study. You know, if you're looking for a place to come and worship the Lord, I think you'll be able to find that at Independence Baptist Church. We want to thank you again for listening this morning and remind you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.